Welcome to D&D, the Dinner Party Role-Playing Podcast. I'm your host and Dungeon Master, James Gressel, and I'm going to adjust my microphone. And here are the fun people.
Hey!
Oh, hey, yeah.
Let's all adjust our microphones.
Everybody adjust your microphone.
I'm going to adjust my microphone. I can't really hear me that well in my ears. Is that...
Yeah,
and that's not a bit.
Oh my god!
Now I'm so much louder.
I'm louder.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Now I'm all right.
I sound great.
Yeah. She sounds great and warm.
I'm not going to turn you down.
What about now?
Nope.
What?
You're good.
Okay.
But be close to the microphone.
Yeah, baby.
That's that NPR.
There it is. But that's not a Flingetti voice.
That's episode one classic.
Wait, you have to like get right up on that to get the NPR voice.
Got
to
be right on top of
them. Every single one of them.
Is it gonna breathe? Like, are you gonna hear me breathing, or is this?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'll be able to notch out your breaths.
Like, okay.
Notch it out.
Notch it out.
Sometimes you know you can't fall asleep. Gotta notch it out.
Jane.
We're off to a great start.
I do it in the morning.
Jesus Christ.
So. We're back with everybody. It's been a little bit. We have
just a little bit.
I hope that everybody has been enjoying the Tim stories. Thanks to everybody for your patience as stuff came out. I got jury duty out of nowhere, and that really fucked up everything.
I loved the D&D Twitter while you had jury duty. It was just Gressel complaining about jury duty.
It's the worst system I've ever experienced in my life.
Wow.
I think
and you had to actually go
taxes
in.
Taxes make more sense to me than jury duty.
But there's not a better way.
I know, that's the thing that sucks is there's not a better way.
I understand, okay, maybe there, you know, like how else do you try to pursue justice for things like that? Whatever. This is not the place for that. I did not enjoy my time with jury duty. I'm sorry to all of the lawyers.
The money's good, you know? You get to buy houses and
not
cars.
Not necessarily.
And...
Yeah, it depends what kind of lawyer you are.
What kind of lawyer you are.
It's like being an athlete.
If you're a good person lawyer, the money's not very good.
Yeah.
If you're a Sandy from the OC, the money's not very good.
You see the house they lived
isn't
in?
That,
do you
that's
know
the
what,
wife's
what
money,
woman
though.
He married?
Oh, I know. It's the dad's. Oh, we don't have to get into this.
That's a different. That's a whole different thing.
Like when my mom was doing law, like she has a set of morals and ethics. She didn't make a ton of money. You know? Yeah.
It's
you have to dedicate like so much of your time to that job too. I follow one law person on YouTube, and so I know like a bunch about the career now. And you get what you put into it, and you can put everything into it and have no time for anything else that's important in your life.
That sounds familiar.
Let's escape into the wonderful, interesting, fascinating, funny fantasy world that I have weaved for you, my friends.
Thank you.
That sounds good.
And then we can eat cookies.
I already had one.
I was going to say, I already ate a cookie.
Did you make cookies for us?
I didn't make them, no.
You ordered them, the fraud.
Yes, I did. We got Christmas cookies today. Because this is our last recording session of the year, and it's just before I leave to go back to Michigan for Christmas, and so we got Christmas cookies from Susie Cakes, which we got a few years ago. Eric is eating one right now.
I'm actually gonna grab a little gingerbread guy myself right now.
Oh, what the
on mic?
Yeah,
I'm not gonna carry him.
Mouth noises, Janice.
Can you grab me one?
There's leftover there. We didn't open the caviar that I got for Thanksgiving.
Can we put it on the cookies?
No. I mean, you could.
A little bit of creme fraiche on a sugar cookie and a caviar.
Do you know the caviar sizes? That was a only connect sequence question that I did not know.
I don't. I am not I don't have the means to eat enough caviar to know the caviar size.
It's how I learned 8 ounces.
The biggest size is beluga.
Isn't
it tall, grande, venti?
Right.
Yeah. Wait, how big is a beluga caviar?
I have no idea.
Is it like an ostrich egg type situation? Can you put your hand inside of it?
Salmon roe's pretty good size, so if it's bigger than that, then it's probably...
Beluga whale,
it like
though.
Boba
it's a whale.
Size?
Yeah, but then why would it be eggs? I don't know. This is what I have is sturgeon, eggs? I believe, and it's a Cetra caviar from somewhere.
I'm sorry, we can't play the game. We need to find out why beluga with eggs exist.
It's because it's from the beluga sturgeon.
Oh. So it is sturgeon caviar. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so it's not big like an ostrich.
No.
That would be gross.
What's the biggest caviar? What's the biggest fish?
The biggest fish
sunfish?
Egg?
Sunfish?
Sunfish are pretty good. Whale shark, I think, technically.
Yeah, it'd be a shark,
biggest.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And those have those weird sac eggs.
Ooh.
Do we eat shark caviar?
I
don't think we're allowed to eat shark anything.
Yeah. Shark galoot. Galoot?
Yeah, we have a treaty with the sharks that if we don't eat them, they won't eat us.
Yes. Yeah.
How's that going?
Pretty good.
I mean, yeah, for the most part.
Yeah. There was this incident in 75 that kind of caused some tension.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. It's gotten better since.
Outliers, sounds like.
Yeah.
It was really the mayor's fault, so. But yeah, so we also have some caviar. I was going to make some blinis later. There's champagne leftover from the bodies kill count.
That's been sitting open for so long.
No, you have a bottle.
Ooh, it's
going
to be even spicier.
Oh, the sealed one?
Yeah.
Do you want me to fucking saber it?
If you want.
I'll do it again.
Apparently it's easy.
I'll fucking do it again.
Yeah, it looked very easy.
I did it in one go twice. I'll do it a third time.
Damn.
I bought three bottles. I did one practice one, did it in one, then one on camera and did it in one.
Yeah, watch the camera glass. One.
Yeah, it was almost underwhelming. It just happens, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I did it.
So we can have some Christmas cookies and some champagne and caviar and toast our final session of...
And friendship.
And final
and
hangout.
And friendship.
Yeah. I was like, and final fantasy.
Let's play. Yeah.
Yeah. I meant to do the caviar on Thanksgiving. I totally forgot about it.
It's okay.
That's okay. There isn't that much of it, and there were a lot of people.
You did
there.
A lot already, so you're off the hook. in my books.
So let's get back to the story. It's been a few. Last we left you guys off, you were following the hidden tunnels that Margarine as Pants discovered. Inside of the walls of the palace in Steelshank, the Imperial Palace. You followed them down into a temple hidden in the mountains where you discovered some of the cultists. It seemed that it is related to the cult that has been terrorizing the town and the expo that they are holding. You all had secret identities that you were using while interacting with the royals. Margarine is Pants, the bottom half of Creature, which was Flack, Bucket Baby, and which was the creation of Onesineer Crammon, which is Zabbis's alias. Fletch was going as Windrear Flintfury.
Flintfurious.
A just interested party, a curious elf who is just into science. But right now, you guys are just on your own, and you don't need to necessarily stick to those hidden personas, because you left the Prince Cedric, and his chief of staff, Lord Dormac, with the one remaining guard in a puzzle room that was full of complete darkness that nobody could see through, even with dark vision or anything. But Margarine got through. Margarine got through because Margarine could see some ancient writing that was reminiscent of old people language on the floor, and was able to follow that path through this dark room into the temple beyond. However, when you were in a library room in the temple and going over the gems that Margarine stole from Prince Cedric's cannon arm,
everybody's got one.
Everybody has a gem, and...
oh, yeah, because my gem is just kind of a wet rock.
Wet rock, tingly rock, lightning rock, and then the thunderclap went off and set off an alarm.
Which one did I have, tingly?
You had the lightning one, I believe.
I had lightning?
Yes.
And I had thunder?
Yes.
Lightning and the thunder?
You guys are so cute.
Thunder, thunder.
Flack also has... A levitation belt or a mechanical belt of some kind that was given to him by Cedric, and is controlled by the tablet and stylus that Margarine stole from Cedric.
Yeah.
So you have turned Flack into a lit tricycle.
I'm fucking lit.
Yes, which is wheels with like for all intents and purposes LED strips on them.
He's like a weird dude in Venice.
Yeah, you're just rolling around on your little trike as you guys are.
It's like, what's that guy doing? Is he selling something?
Selling t-shirts with Marilyn Monroe with a bunch of like gang tats.
So that is the situation. The alarm is going off and you guys are in the temple. So you've just left this library room. The alarm is blaring. The torch-lit hallways are very old, and though they are lit by torches, and torches seem to be at least maintained enough to light the way, this doesn't appear to be a particularly hospitable place. It's kind of run down. There's broken stones in the floor that just, you know, give way to ground. Even some of the walls, chunks of it are kind of collapsed or overgrown. Roots are peeking in through the ceiling or the walls, wherever they kind of can find their way through the cracks in stone. It's an old, dark feeling place. Like it's not warm or hospitable. You don't really get you don't get good vibes from it. But you are in this hallway now. Behind you is the library. Ahead of you, the hallway leads to a T where you can go left or right, and the alarm is blaring. What do you do?
James, we like faked our deaths, right? So technically once in your crammant doesn't have to be alive anymore.
That is true. Whoa. Yes. Right. The there was a crumbling of the floor that collapsed. That was the trap in that puzzle room, was that if you did not follow the path as it was illuminated, the floor would collapse and you would fall into some sort of long fall, and then a splash happened. You don't know necessarily if it was water or not. So yes, as far as the prince and Dormak are concerned, the creature and ones in your cramen are no more.
Okay.
I also want to remind everybody that there is a perfectly crafted bird beak in Zabbis's bag from the first episode.
What?
Of this season.
Oh, of this season.
Yeah.
Wait, why?
We were trying to disguise Margarine as a big bird, and it ended up doing something different, but we made like a nat 20 bird beak, and I wanted to hold on to it.
Crazy, okay.
So, in case it
I'll
comes up.
I'll remember it. Maybe.
In case you have need for a bird beak.
Yeah.
Or a long, pointy thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to fight, or do we want to stealth?
Which way is which?
Well, I could write anything on this little tablet.
Oh.
Well, we should probably do stealth first to see what we're up against. We don't know.
Yeah, let's like scout the perimeter or whatever.
I think you still have pass without trace in effect. So yes. Everybody's got plus 10 to stealth.
Yeah.
So you can go left or right. Back the way that you came, or back the way you came. Back the way you came through the library leads to like a courtyard. Or atrium, I suppose, would be a better way of putting it, where there's a second level below that you could see into, and from the top level, you know, there's like a big square and a walkway all around it.
I rolled perception to look to the left and the right, and I rolled a 10.
Hallways both ways, and then they also split. All you can hear is the alarm blaring. It's equally loud in both directions.
Do we see any people from where we're at?
So far, you do not.
Do we know that? We did see
there were people.
Zabbis
yeah.
and Flack saw people.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they were down the atrium?
They were down on the lower level.
We should go left.
That's what I was thinking. I feel like left feels good.
Our turn starts going.
All right, you go left. You get to another T where there's another left or right.
Left, always.
Left again.
Let's go to square. Yeah.
Let's go in a circle.
You go left again. Now you have reached a staircase that descends down to a lower level.
Down again.
This opens into a larger room that has doors along each side of it. There are four total doors.
I can't.
What if we... Hey, guys, so now that we have four doors and there are four of us, what if we each stand in front of a door and open it all at the same time?
I love that idea.
I like it.
You are
well,
so
Gress will be
stupid.
Mad at us.
I'll stand in front of door number three.
What if
I want the first... I want the left one. The farthest left. I want door number one.
I'll take four.
Margarine zips her fucking mouth.
And just pick her stands up in front of door number in... the remaining door?
Yeah, dude. With her arms crossed.
All right, you guys are standing in front of each doorway. They are stone slabs that have a, I guess it's a knob of a uncut black stone jetting out from each one at a lower height than would be comfortable for a doorknob for Zabbis or Fletch. And it's a little bit higher than Margarine, but Flack, pretty much right for you.
Perfect. I open it.
Oh, hey, we all okay.
Oh,
I opened mine too.
I thought we were gonna count.
Oh, sorry. What the heck, man?
Oh, sorry. 1, 2, 3.
Oh, got it.
Margarine checks for traps. 16.
16 checking for traps. No, none. Your door is not trapped. However, it is locked.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
The other ones are not. And you open up door number one, the door to the immediate left from when you came in.
That's mine.
Seems to be a break room. You open up the door and you find yourself looking into, it's not necessarily a kitchenette because it's not like there's a coffee machine or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a couple of, you know, there's some seating and there are three cultists. One has a mask, his like shitty wooden mask, like tilted up to the top of his head. They're all dwarves and is holding like a mug of something. And there's like a big barrel and another one is like scooping something out of liquid out of the barrel to fill a mug. And they all turn and look at you. Door number two was Margarine. Margarine's door was locked.
This was such a bad idea.
Door number three was Flack.
Yeah.
Flack, you open up the door and you have discovered what appears to be a very long and deep crypt.
Oh.
Or catacomb of some kind, perhaps. There are rows and rows of what appear to be like open, loose graves or otherwise kind of final resting places where there are skeletons laying down. You know, one after the other on three levels.
What?
And you...
Oh, are they, like, in the walls?
Yeah, they're in the walls, yeah. So there's three levels of basically really long shelves on each side of this hallway.
Oh, you didn't play Skyrim, did you?
Yeah, I've seen this in the video games. Get careful, because the skeletons, they'll get up.
I feel like it's kind of like Werewolf by Night when they go into that room and the ant comes
sure,
out of it.
Sure, yeah, not dissimilar. Yes, it's very Skyrim.
Okay.
Sometimes the skeletons get up and they have bows and arrows and you don't understand.
Yeah. Isn't this where we fucking met Marta? Like a
it's
similar
very,
situation?
Yeah. Very similar. Yeah, okay. Yes, except the skeletons in this room, much smaller.
And also there's a break room down the hall.
Different from Marta.
Different from Marta. Yeah.
Okay.
Fletch, the door that you opened, door number four, opens into a shorter, not necessarily tunnel, but a shorter hallway, the end of which has a very, very heavy iron portcullis that is down. And it is barred with big iron bars. And there's a roll perception.
Percept, dude. Percept hard,
dude. Hard.
Percept, dude.
25.
With a 25. There's a very sharp, acrid smell that stings your nostrils coming from within. There's also a faint green glow.
Ooh.
And a little bit of a mist that's kind of hovering just above the floor. This is also green. It's just kind of billowing out from this portcullis.
Man, you guys get like cool stuff. I just get some guys that are on their break.
At least you could open your door.
Did you say that out loud?
Yeah.
Margarine uses her thieves' tools to try to crack this lock.
Roll sleight of hand.
Oh, come on. 10 plus 9, 19.
19 will, yes, you are able to successfully pick the lock.
Wow.
I open up my pants zipper and I look and I have a shit eating grin on.
You open up your You open up your door, you open up the lock, and you are immediately met with loud clacking sounds of machinery and like bellows. There's like pumping sounds, there's air moving, and there's a blast of heat that hits you as you open this door.
Oh.
The three cultists that are in the break room that Zabbis has opened the door from are surprised. The one who was drinking his mug of grog just drops it.
I just go, oh, and I shut the door.
Hey everybody, Russell here with a few quick announcements, then we can get you right back to it. Thanks so much for listening to episode 158 of D&D&D. Be sure to follow us on social media at D&D&D Pod on Twitter or D&D&D Pod on Instagram, or email us at dndndpod@gmail.com. We have a subreddit, reddit.com/r/dndndpod. I think there is a Discord. I don't know how Discord works. And we have a Patreon, patreon.com/dndndpod. Patrons who are subscribers at the t-shirt tier level or higher will be getting the latest Patreon exclusive t-shirt soon. Beth has completed design on a long sleeve t-shirt featuring the faces of all the main characters, both from the main story and the prequel series, as cookies. The sleeves feature sugar cookies decorated with the faces of our main characters. It's a really fun design. It has a really great, like, old school fantasy cover D&D title card. I don't really know what to call it on the front. And it's such a cool, like, old school fantasy design. I love it. And now it could be yours on a t-shirt if you are a Patreon at that level. So those will be getting ordered before the end of the year. Though they will not arrive before Christmas. I'm sorry about that, but you'll be getting those soon. And there will be another one on the other side of the new year to finish out the four for 2022. And then there will be four new shirts in 2023. Speaking of Christmas, we will be taking the week between Christmas and New Year's off from releasing new episodes. So no episode on the 28th, but today, obviously, new episode. And then next week, the 21st, a new episode. And then we'll be back with weekly episodes on the 4th. And we have plans, best laid plans, I know, but we have plans to release weekly every week next year. That is an ambitious goal, I know. But it is all calendared out around conventions that we know of now, and barring personal issues that will come up, we will have something every week next year, or almost every week. You know, holidays and stuff might have the occasional week off, but I'm doing my very best to have content for you, the listeners, every week in 2023. Most of which will be the main story. We are getting into season 5, the real meat of season 5, and I want to build this arc into something satisfying for you guys, and that comes with consistency. So stay tuned for season 5, the real meat of it in 2023. That wasn't supposed to be a food pun, but I guess it was. Beth's shop's open, bethberad.shop. Pre-orders for the season 4 poster are already sold out. That's so amazing. But the other ones are available, as well as her other great artwork. So check that out. BethRad.shop, radshop.cool. Both will get you there. And you can get some of Beth's great art. Dead Meat also has new merch available. They've got Be Good People merch. I'm sure that if you're listening to this, you already know everything about Dead Meat. But if you don't, that's James and Chelsea's main job, and they have some of their great merch available as well. And you can listen to me on the Dead Meat podcast talk about the menu from a couple weeks ago. I joined James and Chelsea on their show, their flagship podcast of this house, to talk about The Menu, which is a great movie, food-related horror movie, and we talk about it. And it's a fun discussion, so check that out as well. If you've seen the movie, if you haven't seen the movie yet, it's a lot of spoilers. Go see the movie and then listen. That's it for me for now. We'll be back next week with a new episode, and that will wrap us up for the year. So thank you so much for listening. Thanks to everybody who shared their Spotify Wrapped. I haven't even had a chance to really talk about that or dive into it with everything that's been going on. But thank you so much for everyone who listened and everybody who shared all of their listening habits on Twitter and everything. I love the Wrapped. I think it's a really fun way to celebrate things that people like listening to music and podcasts, and it's really cool. And it's so cool that we were in the top for so many of you. That's very humbling, and we really, really appreciate it, all of us over here at the show, myself especially. It just means so much that the story means so much to you guys. And I will continue telling it as long as you guys continue listening to it. So thank you so much. And I won't drag this out anymore. Let's get back to the show after a couple of ads and our little stinger. So thanks, everybody. Do what's fun.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
There is a moment. You have a brief moment now where the four of you are in this hallway and Zabbis has just reclosed that door. What happens in this moment?
What's in there?
There's guys in there. We can't go in there.
Could I lock it?
Yes.
Oh, trap him in there.
Roll sleight of hand.
We could just kill him.
Well,
10 plus 9, 19. Oh,
19 will lock the door from the outside and you snap off something inside of it so that it's jammed. I assume that was your intent.
Yes.
And you just hear banging and pulling and banging on the door, and you hear yelling in Dwarvish.
I'm still smiling.
From within. What do you do?
See, that's faster than killing them.
Yeah.
Maybe if you're the one killing them. Oh, never mind. You're pretty good at killing.
Yeah.
I feel like we're all pretty good at killing.
Well, yeah, we're all kind of scary good at it.
Oh, we're doing this so that they get scared behind the door? Yeah, I dream about knives.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I dream about electrocuting people and then eating them.
We love eating people.
Roll intimidation.
And also I turn into a werewolf with a full moon.
Oh, right.
That's why
you
I eat them.
You did have
26 intimidation from Marge.
17.
I should have done disadvantage for that. The jangling, the banging on the door stops for a moment.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I think I found like a special boiler room.
Ooh.
Is it cool?
It was locked.
Oh,
that's pretty cool.
It means there's something good down there.
What about you, Fletch? What'd
you find? I found a room with bar, like a big heavy bars and green mist on the ground.
Ooh.
That sounds terrible.
It sounds
magical.
Dangerous.
It is, I think.
I found a bunch of bastard skellies.
Ooh.
All stacked up on top of each other.
Do they have stuff?
Maybe. We could check. We could give another Marta, maybe. Oh, ask Marta to check them out.
Oh, yeah.
Do we have that?
Yeah, you have Marta.
Okay.
I don't think we've brought Marta out this season.
Oh, we have.
Yeah, I think we have.
At the show.
Oh, yeah, we did. That just feels like a different world to me. I mean, maybe just because it was a while ago.
It was above ground.
Yeah. Hey, Marta, will you go and see if there's any, I don't know, if these skeletons in there have any cool stuff on them? I feel like, you know, people are buried with cool stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Marta comes forth from the bone staff and materializes in front of you in her ghostly form, with the talon ancient Talon Empire uniform, as best you can see, and her big ghostly greatsword on her back. And she says, yes, I'll go check. I'll go investigate the graves.
Thanks, Marta.
Thank you, Marta.
Floats back in there.
I'm glad she's allowed to. It feels like that could be something where there's a ghost code where, you know.
Oh, we're not allowed to, like, mess with skeletons?
Yeah. You know,
if you're a skeleton, you can mess with skeletons.
She's not a skeleton. She's a ghost.
She lives in a skeleton.
Hmm.
Yeah, what is being?
I guess we
being?
All do, huh?
Are you guys, where are you guys?
I don't know, at the doorway, I guess.
Yeah, I'm standing next to.
Yeah, I think we're just still standing
in the doorway. Break room. Like, get in there,
break
Marta.
Room, door room.
Okay, Marta floats in to the catacomb hallway as you guys watch from the doorway. And she floats in and she starts to look, inspect each skeleton as she goes. She gets about three deep and she's like, nothing yet. Just looks like pieces of rotted wood over faces of dwarf skulls and bones.
Oh.
I'm like looking at Fletch. I never really connected with Marta.
Oh. Is this something that you desire?
Whoa.
Okay, let me rephrase that. Is that something you want?
Oh, I like thinking about things I desire. I mean, you guys all like her a lot. I have to like get coffee with her, I think. Just have a conversation. I don't really even know much about her history, you know?
She's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like she kicked a lot of ass.
She kicked lots of ass.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can learn a lot from her.
We did get to see her as a person, didn't we, briefly?
You guys did get to briefly see her as a person. Yeah. She was in life.
It was like it was like we were like looking through something and it was like that place, but.
Maybe I just need to see her as a person and not as a big blue shape in the air.
Mm-hmm. You guys, I think, still have that object. It was the mask of something.
Ferdy?
It was like a mask that let you look into the past or something.
We still have that?
I believe it was just a listener submitted item, so it was just a regular treasure item that gained some more significance as a mask that lets you look through the eyes of dead things now that masks related to death became a big part of the story.
We should know that. We should know that we have
be
that.
Using it. We have endless this pockets, is the season dude. For our this pockets thing. Are just full of crap that we all have like just junk drawers for pockets.
You never know what you'll need.
Period.
Candy.
You need to look at your list for that one.
Yeah.
Want you candy?
You guys have got to the point in the RPG where you just have the stuff you use and you never look at anything else, but you keep picking shit up.
And we never sell anything.
Never sell anything because you don't need money.
Mm-hmm. I just love accumulating things. It's nice.
I had chewed gum here, but I cross it off.
Well,
swallowed it.
Yeah.
Nope. Must have used it. You watch as Marta inspects these bodies. She says that, yes, there's rotted wood above dwarf skulls, but no interesting items. She gets a little bit further in. She gets about six bodies deep, and you see that her visage, her image, starts to stretch a little bit.
What?
Yeah, it starts to get pulled.
I don't like that.
Yeah, and she's like, this is something strange. I'm feeling something, which is. That in and of itself is strange, because I haven't felt anything since long ago.
Oh, no.
Marta, we should get you back out of there. I feel bad but what happens if like a person goes in there, you know?
I'm glad it wasn't.
I know.
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay, I don't want anything to happen to Marta. Marta, come back.
Marta, come back.
Marta starts to hover back to you, but something is still pulling her back, and now it starts to stretch her ghostly form like in Jumanji when they're like sucked into the game.
Oh my god, that scared me so much.
And she's being pulled back into, you're holding forth the bone staff trying to call her back towards it, but she's being pulled back into the depths of the catacombs.
What the fuck?
Oh, no,
and then she's pulled and stretched. And there's just a spectral hand reaching out towards you, Zabbis, reaching out towards Marta's skull, which caps the top of the bone staff. And just,
I like hold the staff farther so she can maybe grab it.
And she reaches and she reaches.
I'm going to cast Dispel Magic on like towards Marta where she's being pulled from.
Okay.
Okay.
The alarm stops.
Oh.
We could still hear it?
Yep.
And now it stops?
Now it stops.
Oh shit, I should have done this
Dispel
long
Magic
ago.
Is the equivalent of getting a Tupperware bin top and waving it at the smoke detector in the kitchen.
Dispel Magic is spells of third level or lower dispelled.
Yes.
And then you have to roll for above.
Yes.
Roll your roll.
So make an ability check using my spell casting ability.
Yes, which is charisma, I believe.
22.
Ooh, 20.
Nice. Oh.
22 is pretty good.
Oh, pretty good.
That'll work.
Hell yeah.
The spell ends and Marta comes all of the stretched Marta comes flying up to catch up with the rest of her form. And then she, with all of the effort that she had to try to reach the bone staff, it all catches up with her all at once and she slams into it. Zabbis, make a dexterity saving throw.
7.
Oh no.
The force with which Marta was trying so hard to get back to the bone staff and the suddenness with which it all caught back up to her, she misses the bone staff and slams into Zabbis.
No!
Zabbis, make a wisdom saving throw.
Oh my god! Oh man, I'm not a smart man. I got plus 0 wisdom, baby. Let's go. 12.
Zabbis, you're now possessed by Marta.
No. Oh, shit.
Oh, my God.
And you look like a dragon.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You still have your wings and your little horns.
Wait, where did Marta go?
Into Zabbis.
I know, Gressel.
Okay, what's happening here? Zabbis.
Zabbis exists.
But.
And Marta exists. Both at the same time.
Zarba?
Zarba. Oh, this feels very weird.
Oh, God. What? Wow.
Wow, Zabbis never does accents.
Yeah. He specifically hates them.
Yeah.
I can see her. I can see her in her human form.
That is something that also kind of weirdly does happen, is that there is this weird kind of like phasing in and out where you can see both Zabbis and Marta kind of at the same time, but not really.
Hello, who are we talking to?
Are you Marta?
Or are you Zabbis?
I guess it's kind of both of us.
Whoa, mid-sentence, it switched.
Damn.
All right.
Dude.
I would like to take you out for an ale.
Let's do okay.
Oh no, yeah, that's later. Oh my god.
We'll do that later. Okay. Now
that
we have to realize
nice.
No, yes it does. It's
we have to realize we have a half ghost person with us now. What kind of cool things can we do?
The other thing that materializes, the bone staff, Marta's bones, rearrange into her greatsword.
Oh fuck yeah.
Oh cool.
So now it's like the sword and button fire emblem.
Yeah. Oh, sick.
Marbus, can you walk through wall still?
Marbus?
Marbus.
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 Yeah, wait. Oh, Marbus. Shit. Can I go through walls, you guys? I run straight at a wall. I run straight at the break room wall, like the door that's locked.
You just slam into it. There's a big, God. You okay. Make full physical contact with it. There's a big thud, and then you hear from the other side a reaction of like fear and dwarvish.
Like, no, you guys, we said we're not gonna eat these ones this time.
Oh, dang.
But I love eating people.
Yeah, so do I.
Maybe next time, or if they give us any trouble.
Okay.
You just, fine.
You hear, like, please. You can tell that they're please.
Oh, my gosh.
From them beyond the wall.
Scaring NPCs.
I know. They just showed up to do their jobs today.
As a murderous cult, to be fair.
Yeah, it's fair. It's a cult.
Wow, okay.
So I guess you can't knock Marta out of Zabbis.
No.
If that's what was happening there.
I think we're kind of
stuck.
Stuck? Like this.
Chelsea, I'm going to message you some information that Marta knows.
Oh God.
Wait, so could we have done this the whole time? Just have Marta kind of, you know,
possess one of us?
Yeah, because like I'd be open to that.
You have to be Marta. It's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah, I don't know if I want that.
So we probably don't want to go into the skeleton room.
Yeah, that seems like a bad idea.
Yeah.
Although
good job,
I will say, what?
Nope, you go.
I just want to point out that I saved Marta from being sucked into whatever was going on there.
And you turned off the big bleeping noise.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really appreciate that.
We appreciate it.
Did we? Wait a second, though. You cast a spell that made magic go away.
Yeah.
So that means that the alarm was magic.
Oh, yeah. That checks out.
Right? So the cultists like magic.
They use magic for alarms.
Yeah.
That wasn't a science alarm.
That wasn't a science alarm.
Hypocrites.
You know, maybe this boiler room is magic too.
Oh, we should go in there and check it out.
Oh, yeah. We haven't gone in the boiler room yet.
Yeah.
Although I'm worried that it's also going to like.
Check for traps.
Yeah, let's.
I open the boiler room door and I check for traps.
You do your thieving. What is the result?
21.
Yes, you are able to check for traps. There are no traps in the immediate little hallway that takes you toward what you believe to be the boiler room.
It's totally safe.
Are there any loose stones or anything on the ground? You said it was kind of
Totally.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
I pick one up and throw it in there.
Okay.
There's like we can hear mechanics you can see mechanics.
You can hear. Yeah, you're still like rolling around. Your legs fully functional.
Oh,
but you're still in the little. In your little contraption.
I just remember the first time we ever played D&D. Like this is before this podcast. Like the first thing you ever did was me, you, and Mark.
Yeah.
I think playing with Kressel. I remember a big fight taking place in a boiler room. So this is exciting. But it was like a huge boiler room. It was like the middle of a factory, I remember.
Yes. This is, as you go further down this hallway, it's not long. It's only probably about 15 feet or so. And then you turn and follow it as it winds its way into a large furnace room. This is a tall room. It's not particularly wide. There is a huge pool of lava, for all intents and purposes, of magma, that molten stone or metal of some kind, that a large contraption sits over. There are curved metal arms that form together form a circle. And a very large structure that holds these arms and looks as though it articulates them to turn them side to side.
Wait, what?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wait.
We just like walked into an anime mech room.
Yeah.
Is it moving?
It is slowly moving, turning. There's these two big, it's kind of like, I forget what one of the.
Astrolabe?
It doesn't depict any kind of celestial body. It's not like the one that you saw back in season 3 that was very clearly like, this is a representation of the cosmos.
Armillary.
Yeah. Yes. It does not depict heavenly bodies, but it is this very large circular thing that is turning. As it's turning, roll perception someone.
I'll do it.
Zabbis, Marbus, you're going to have advantage on all perception rolls.
Sick.
Because you have two sets of eyes.
I was going to ask how rolls are going to work. Okay.
There's going to be weird stuff that's going to happen. This was a complete improv, but
I
love it.
What happens if I roll a one?
You'll re-roll it. On this roll, you will re-roll it.
What? I got a 7.
Okay, a 7 still isn't going to really help you.
I got a nat 1.
The heat is really affecting you. You're kind of like taken aback just by the heat coming off of this pool of molten stone.
I'm going to step back.
Metal, whatever.
All right,
it is.
I'll do it. Perception?
Yes.
Six.
Oh, boy.
Okay, I rolled a 16.
Okay, 16 is enough to see that as this huge thing is slowly turning above this pool of molten stone. little bloops of magma are being kind of pulled up, and they get closer to each time one of the arms swings low. Little bloops of lava are being pulled up toward the arm, but then as it passes by, they fall back down.
Is it like they're defying gravity?
Yeah, kind of. They're being like pulled
up. A lava lamp almost?
Yeah, like a lava lamp.
Cool.
Okay. But as the arm passes by, they slow down. They drop back down.
Is this some kind of magnetic thing?
Yeah, I'm pointing this out to everybody so everyone's on the same page.
Oh, yeah, those bloops.
I wonder if this is magnetic of some sort.
Is there anything in the middle of this armature?
Right now, there's not anything in the middle where, you know...
It's rotating around?
In the center of the circle that forms from these arms, there's nothing in the middle. But back in the mechanism that is turning the arms, there looks to be a large crystal, a focusing gem of some kind. Roll history.
Yeah.
Everybody could roll this history roll. I think you've all encountered these devices, but Marjorie definitely has.
9.
Damn. 4.
18.
11.
Flack, of all people, remembers that... recognizes this or suspects that this is a similar kind of focusing stone as to when you have seen Morgan use devices to create a projection for her contraptions that she used to communicate over long distances.
Didn't we experience that in the house, the goop house?
Yes, you did.
And we saw a room catch on fire or something?
Yeah, that was
Juno Marjorie. Yeah. Yep. Yes, that is what this stone reminds you of, but it's very, very large. You look opposite the direction of this stone to see, okay, well, if it's a focusing stone, what's it focusing on?
Yeah.
And you can see that the opposite wall is completely flat in a very intentional and purposely built way.
It's a movie room.
I was going to say Plato's. And there's a puppet show. And interesting. Wait, so I'm sorry. What does the focusing stone do again?
In the past, you have seen a focusing stone being used to communicate over long distances, to project an image of another place.
Yeah.
Don't
we
use fire to do that?
It was a candle,
candle, yeah.
This is so weird. What is this doing down here?
I don't know.
Is there anyone down here? Uh-oh. Do you guys see anyone or no? We're good?
Nobody sees anybody right now.
I can't see someone, but I feel someone as much as I can feel stuff.
Marta, you're Zabbis now. And so sometimes human bodies can sense the other human bodies around.
We'll do that biology later. What direction is it coming from, Marbus? And I pull out my dagger, ready to kill someone.
She means like not us.
Yeah, I don't think she means us. I think she means like some other presence.
Some motherfucker.
It's up there. Point upwards.
Let's see what this bell can do. And I try to float vertically. Can I do that?
What do you want to do?
No, you're on wheels now.
Oh, wheels. Oh, hey, turn these into jets.
Into boiler room?
Make me...
You were previously levitating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a question. Yes. Can Zabbis now float?
Ooh.
Yeah, like how does this work? Exactly.
You couldn't go through walls because you still have a physical form, but maybe you can float a little bit.
Yeah, like not a ton.
Not a ton, because you're like weighed down. But yeah, you can kind of tap into some ghostly
like
abilities.
A little bit.
Yeah, you can
like,
hover. You can
I'm like an air hockey
like
puck.
Yeah, you're having trouble kind of standing. Yeah, like the friction is gone.
Yeah,
who's that in Smash, like Lucera or Lucera or whatever?
Lucia,
do they kind of float? Who kind of floats?
Rosalina.
Yeah, Rosalina kind of floats. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a Rosalina vibe.
Yeah.
The direction that Marta, Marbus points when she says up is the top of the contraption.
I look up there. Do I see anything?
There's like a railing, and it looks like a podium of some kind, and then you can see that there's like levers sticking out.
Show yourself.
I write egg hover jet on the tablet.
Can egg I, hover egg, jet?
Yeah, like a little, you like you're sitting in a little egg.
Like you're like a little Dr.
Like
Robotnik.
Like
a
little egg boy. Man.
Dr. Robotnik.
Okay. He can just like bubble around.
The wheels retract into the belt. There's a bunch of mechanical whirring sounds.
I sketch it a little bit.
And a wireframe like domed like bottom half of an eggshell comes out to best represent Marjorie's drawing on the tablet. Is it's not solid because there's not that many parts. But
I sign the drawing.
it gives you this little shell frame, and you start to there's some glowing energy that gives you a levitation ability, and then there are some gears that form Marjorie's signature, and then those just fall.
Oh,
don't waste those.
I pick them up.
What happens if I send Etienne up? Wait, let me make sure I can still do that.
Yes, you can.
I'm going to write gears in my pocket.
Yeah, he's around.
Can I send Etienne up there because he glows?
Yes, you send Etienne up there and he glows. Are you floating up there, Flack?
Yeah.
And Flack and Etienne float up towards the top of this contraption where there is this platform.
Let's go, little buddy.
Etienne, like both of you now are really like Rosalina with Etienne.
Yeah.
Like
the little, little star buddy. Yeah. For sure.
Just like demon Rosalina.
You float up there, the two of you, and as you get higher, you realize how big this contraption is. It's probably 30 feet tall.
Oh, jeez.
And these big curved arms are huge and heavy, and there's a big clank. You can see now that just beyond this, there's like a huge, big pumping, like accordion size big cylinder that's like a pump that's going up and down that seems to be related to slowly moving this these arms. And you get to the top of it, and you see, working on a workbench on the far end of the platform at the top of this contraption, is a dwarven person in not a cultist robe necessarily, but a robe that looks decayed and eaten by time. You can see that one of the shoulders peeking out from underneath long, gray, dirty, matted hair is bone. It's a shoulder bone. It doesn't have any flesh on it, though there is some flesh that is on the arm. One of the legs, one of the feet that sticks out from underneath this robe is a skeletal foot, while the other has a boot on it. The thread that makes up the robe has a shimmer and a color to it. It's blues and greens. It's not the kind of rough spun shitty robe that the other cultists have. And it almost looks as if it moves as you look at it. The figure turns around as you guys clear to get up to eye level with the platform. And one half of this dwarf's face is completely rotted away to skull.
Ooh.
The other is desiccated and withdrawn. And a voice calls out and asks, "Do you require an Aurora?"
An Aurora?
That's what he says.
Hey guys, do we require an Aurora?
D&D is a Moorpark Media podcast and a Spotify preferred partner. Written and edited by me, James Gressel. D&D is performed by James A. Janisse, Chelsea Rebecca, Beth Radloff, and Mike Seigen.